Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us today. And this is, September. September is here. We're excited about September. And I hope maybe you're like me. You kind of treat this as the new year. It's more like a new year to me than the new year is. And helping us start off our new year is our new friend, Dr. Tom Okamoto, and he's with his good friend, Dr. Dave Stoop. And Dr. Okamoto, thank you for joining us again. Yes. I'm really glad that we didn't run you off the last time.
Thank you for having me again.
It's a good thing. And hi, Dr. Dave Stoop.
Hey, Steve.
Dave, you gave me a fountain pen for my birthday, and I got to tell you, I have to send you another thank you note because it's just such a joy to write. I feel like a grown up. It deserves two thank you notes. Everybody should have a friend like you, Dave. Really,
well, that's nice. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Well, we're glad that everybody is with us today, and we've got calls lined up. We're going to go right to the phone calls here. And if you weren't on when Dr. Okamoto was on before, he is a real-life Christian psychiatrist. He was the medical director for the Menrith Meyer Clinic there when John Townsend, Henry Cloud, Dave Stoop were there. They all worked together. He really understands the heart of New Life better than most, and we are just absolutely thrilled that he is here. And we'll just start off by going to Harry from Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Harry, how you doing?
Great, Steve. How about yourself?
Doing okay. How can we help you today?
Well, just a quick comment. I've really enjoyed, over the past several years, your recovery book, and also, especially, I know you don't hear this too often, the recovery writing team of Steve and Dave. You guys are really excellent co-authors together. I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I think you're the first person that's ever said that, Dave. I'm not sure. So
it's nice to hear.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We'll stay together. We've only been doing it, over 37 years, so we're going to keep it together now. Well, thanks for that. How can we help you today? What's going on?
Okay, in a nutshell, over the past decade, I've been in a variety of 12-step groups, and I keep hitting the same roadblock. I would just describe myself as I have abstinence in isolation, and, it's not... I want what you and Dave write about, the idea of being socially connected is a more advanced recovery phase, and I don't have that unless I'm calling in.
Okay. So you're doing all the right stuff, you're going to the meetings, but you walk away and you don't feel like you've really made a heart-to-heart connection with anybody?
Yeah, and when the meeting's over, I leave right away. But, when Yurkovich wrote a book, and I could easily identify myself as the avoider, if that's helpful enough.
Okay. Dave, you have any thoughts on, and you, Dr. Okamoto, about how you, interaction's uncomfortable for us avoiders, and maybe I'm not the one to give the advice here, because I am an avoider, a recovering avoider. Yeah, what do you think, Dave? Get us started off here.
I'm a recovering avoider as well. It's something you got to work at, Harry. It's not natural, but you can, if you focus on a topic that somebody else is interested in, that helps it make it easier. And if you're going to meetings, talking about recovery and talking about what's going on in your own step process is easy to do, but you got to do the social aspect of recovery for it to be really effective.
I look at it too that God reaches out to us, so he takes the active role, and we need to practice that to really get the connection. So
I had a client one time who was excellent at it. He knew how to ask questions, so nobody asked him any questions. But there are some skills you can learn that help you with that.
Yep. Well, I've got one little key here that it could change things for you. I hope so. I'll give it to you right after this.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 21st to the 23rd.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Harry. When I say we, Dr. Thomas Okamoto in Southern California there, Christian psychiatrist, Dr. Dave Stoop, Christian psychologist. I mean, there's a lot of Christian psycho stuff going right on there in that studio in Southern California. And we're on the phone with Harry. And Harry, I have I've stepped out there and said, maybe I've got something that could change this for you. Whenever I walk out the door to go be with other people, my wife tells me something that has really changed a lot for me. Maybe it would be something that could change something for you. She knows that I'm also an avoider. And while when I'm up on the stage speaking, it looks like, you know, I get a lot of energy from folks and everything, but I'm actually kind of an introvert in a lot of ways. But she'll say this, now, Steve, you go and love those people. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, you could say, well, is she saying go feel love for these people? Well, you can't just manufacture a feeling, but you can go do acts of love for other people. And I would challenge you to go to the next recovery meeting and say this to yourself. We're going to walk in that door, and no matter how we feel, we're going to love these people. So what does that mean? That means we're going to ask them about their lives. After the meeting, when somebody talks about some hurt or struggle, we're going to not leave. We're going to go love that person. And we're going to say something like, maybe it's just, and I hope you didn't fall off of a mountain there or something. That was loud. But anyway, we're going to say something like, I heard what you were saying when you shared. And I want you to know I appreciate your courage for that. Or we might say, I heard you talking about that. Can you tell me more? But see, when you go and engage with somebody, even if it's uncomfortable, it's an act of love. It's acknowledging another human being, and it's sparking a connection. And I'll tell you this, if you went to the next recovery meeting and you said, I'm going to love three people, for one, it's just going to be saying hello. Before I leave that meeting, for somebody else, it's going to be appreciating what they shared. And for somebody else, I'm going to ask them a question about their life. I think you're going to leave there feeling a lot better about that experience. Dave, Dr. Okamoto, any comment about that or anything you're thinking about that?
That's a great how-to, because loving is knowing the next person and finding out who they are and reaching out and having that connection of somebody new. And that's bound to get some connection going and having them ask you who you are.
Well, that's the scary part is when they ask who you are. But if you start by asking who they are and those kind of things, it becomes a natural response and it won't be scary. But you got to reach out with the questions.
I think it was in a Dale Carnegie book or someplace where There was a story of the guy that everybody thought he was the greatest conversationalist in the world. He never, ever said anything. He always asked people about themselves. And it's just a way of trying to connect, and it's a way of having an agenda other than turn around and walk right out that door and have no interaction. But that's never going to be easy for you. You say you like the recovery materials. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, because it's kind of recovery for anybody, no matter what you're recovering from. And I think it's a great way of helping a person look at the false self that we try to put out there and try to get rid of the false self so that we can be authentic in our relationships. All right, let's go to Mark, Springfield, Virginia, WAVA. Hi, Mark. How are you? How can we help today?
Hey, Steve, gentlemen. Great to be on the show, and thank you so much for the service you provide, and it's very helpful.
Sure. What's going on?
Here's my question. I'm happily married, and a good friend of mine who got married a few years back, he went through a divorce, and I basically encouraged him to look at, you know, kind of his side of the situation, and because he was looking at it saying that basically his soon-to-be ex-wife was 95% at fault, and he was 5%, and I encouraged him to take a deeper look, and that ended up in basically him not trusting me, and there's more to it, obviously, not trusting me, but it basically frayed our relationship. So my question is, what recourse do I have for a, let's see, 16-year relationship that's kind of been on life support for the last couple years with another gentleman who's a committed Christian?
Okay.
Good friend of mine, former good friend, or someone I'd like to be a good friend with again if God, you know, gave that opportunity.
Okay, so Dave, let's start with you, and then you, Dr. Okamoto. What do you think he could do to restore this relationship with this guy that obviously, when he said, hey, take a look at yourself, it offended the guy or just caused him to back totally away from the friendship?
Well, I think you obviously haven't talked about it with him in terms of what happened. And the beginning of healing is going to be to bring the subject up when you're with him, either in a letter or a phone call or an in-person, if you can get him to come and meet you for coffee, where you apologize and say, I overstepped my boundaries, and I'm sorry. I don't want to lose our friendship, and just affirm the relationship that you thought you had and once had. But somehow you've got to talk about it, because it won't go away by itself.
I think a great example is what we do every day. And when you say the wrong thing in therapy as a therapist, you know you've said the wrong thing. Yeah. And you have to repair it. You have to restore the relationship.
And often the client will confront you about saying the wrong thing.
And they'll tell you that was the wrong thing. And you've got to either put it in context and repair it that way, or apologize because you made a really big mistake. But in relationships, you have to acknowledge that if you offended that guy, you didn't have an idea. You didn't want to offend him. You wanted to help him. But it was the wrong thing, and that's what you have to repair.
Well, what I love about what you just said is that you're saying that a therapist who's been trained to say the right thing, the healthy thing, the facilitating thing, sometimes therapists make mistakes, and that's something that I think is important for people to hear, that it's okay to say to a therapist, I really don't like that, or I think that maybe was a little inappropriate. But here's what you've got going for you. Mark, when's the last time you talked to him?
We talked about a month ago. But we used to talk maybe biweekly or so. He's actually lives down in Texas, and so
okay. We
don't get a chance to speak that often.
Well, here's what you got going for you, is that you called a radio show to talk with a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and a guy that acts like he's both. And you, you're able to say to your friend, you know what, I so miss the relationship that we used to have. In fact, it's bothered me so much, I called this talk show And I realize, you know, that when I was talking to you about you looking at your part and stuff, it was just too early. What you really needed was just to know that I was there for you no matter what. I was trying to be helpful. I see how it was just, I had the wrong words at the wrong time. And I hope that you'd give me another chance and you'd be able to forgive me for that. Because I sure do miss the kind of relationship that we had. I didn't know what that marriage was all about. I didn't know what kind of pain you were in. And I just made an assumption, and I just felt like everything from that point has fallen apart. And if you give me a second chance, I think we can get back to that great relationship that we used to have. Because you could even say this, you know, men with great friendships are pretty rare these days. And we had one, and I haven't had one like that since. I'd sure like to get back to it. You know, I think if you said something like that, if he didn't respond to that, then there'd be much more to this than maybe you're aware of. What do you think about having that approach to him?
I think it's a solid approach, and I'm willing to apologize. And I think, you know, prayer and apology are a good course of action. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I would love to. I'd love to hear how that all goes. I think that would be a great encouragement to other people. Because, you know, when you're in relationship, if you don't have a repair mechanism, if you're not willing to let the other person make an uncomfortable or kind of a clumsy attempt at repair, then relationships are going to be pretty pretty thin, and they're probably not going to be very long-lasting. So I'm really glad you called, and let me send you a copy of, I don't know, Dave, what would be a great book for him? What do you think would be a great book for him to read?
Something about having that difficult conversation that Henry...
There you go. We'll get that from John and Henry. I forget the name of it, but it has a lot to do with having
a difficult
conversation,
I think was the title of it.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you're interested in that, we would love to get that to you. And a gift of any amount, I'll send you our offer here in September. Well, it's you know, any of the Arterburn Wellness Series books, Understanding and Loving a Person With, we'd be glad to get that to you, gift of any amount. Just ask for it. Larry Sonnenberg will be in a little bit to tell you about Club New Life. But right now, how about we go over here to Marissa from Dallas, Texas, and she also listens on KWRD. Hi, Marissa. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help today?
I have an adult daughter who needs help mentally, and she thinks she's fine. And since she's over 21 and lives on her own, my husband and I are having trouble getting her to see that she does need help. And I'm wondering, do you have any strategies that can help? I'm sure other people have this kind of situation. You know, she's not in our home, and so we don't have that to, you know, leverage. She's on her own, but she does need, like, mental help.
Well, what kind of problems are you seeing in her life? What's she doing? What do you see there, the symptoms of a problem?
She was diagnosed due to an abusive marriage with post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Okay.
She became completely disoriented and psychotic. Hmm. She saw Dr. Paul Meyer, and she was put on Invega Sustenna injections and was institutionalized for about 30 days. So it was major. Now, fast forward about 8 years down the road, and she's still not completely okay. But she won't allow us to be very involved in her life. So we don't really know what she's doing in terms of medication. We know she's not seeing any therapist whatsoever.
So what could you say to her as, honey, you were talking about this or we saw this and we know because of this that you're really struggling or it's really hard for you right now? Is there anything like that that you could say to her that's pretty obvious that she needs some help from you? Is there anything?
Well, she keeps losing her job. She's well qualified with a master's degree and very, very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't sustain employment. She gets in arguments with everybody.
Yeah, okay.
And
all right.
She never sees her part in it. She always thinks it's the other person.
Yeah.
And, you know, so she has a job way below her skill level or, you know, right now.
Okay, hold on. We'll talk after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and the dilemma here is so common, being the adult parent of an adult child. And in this case, someone who needs some extra help, not really getting the help they need, and can't hold the kind of job that they are trained to do. Dr. Okamoto, what do you think here? At the break, you said you had some ideas that might be helpful.
This is something that is a heartbreak for millions of parents. National Alliance of the Mentally Ill is a national organization. They actually have a faith net or a church-related group as well nationally that trains parents and supports parents as well as other things with education and ideas for how to deal with situations like this, because it's heartbreaking and it's painful and it requires a lot of creativity. So they have a lot of sharing of older folks who've gone through this with their kids and grandkids. I mentioned Laura's Law in the past about there's now legislation where if somebody's really disabled and doesn't get treatment. There's the courts that are trying to help. Another idea would be there are psychologists who understand mental illness who are actually doing life coaching and job coaching too. If you could find one of those people in your area, sometimes they can cross over and you could sell that contact as a job coach. And maybe that person can encourage her to get a lot of help in different ways.
I agree because, you know, somebody might not want to get help for their emotional issues, but if you introduce it as, hey, maybe you'll be able to earn the kind of money that somebody trained the way you are, then maybe that would be appealing to them. And if you'll hold on, we'll try to connect you with someone like that. But here's what I think. A lot of times when we see our kids as adults in trouble, we want to say something that's going to fix it. It's harder to see that maybe the fix is longer term. And what I've got to do first is reestablish the relationship there. That I've got to go to that child. I've got to spend time with them, gain their or regain their trust, see their life enough that I could have an informed opinion about it if they'll let me in. But pursuing the adult child, especially when it's so uncomfortable to be with the adult child, it's a sacrificial act of love that might build that bond again to where when you say, hey, how about we go to a meeting together, or how about we talk to this person together, you just might be the link to that. I hope that that could be the case. So let me send you How We Love. Mylon K. wrote that book. It's a great one, and I think it really could be a book that would help you win her heart and gain her trust all over again. Let's go to Bell, Woodbridge, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi there. How you doing? Bell, are you on?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
How can we help you? Yeah, how can we help?
Oh, hi. Hi, how are you today?
Doing okay. How can we help you?
Great. Oh, thank you so much. Here's my question. I find it very, very difficult to leave my job. I've been there for 6 years, and I have attempted and tried looking at other jobs, but I still find it so hard to actually just leave my job. Now, there's some other things that might be part of that, and that's that I live with my daughter, and she has children. We got in that arrangement so I could help her, but I'm kind of help her babysit sometimes, and she does pay me, sort of. So that might have a little bit to do with it, but nevertheless, I still find it so hard to leave my job.
Okay.
It's terrible.
And why do you want to leave your job?
Well, there's no more advancement in the position. That's, and I don't get paid enough to sustain like my, my basic needs. So I'm really okay. Having a hard time. It just meets my needs. I mean, very basically, and it's hard for me to do anything outside of it at all.
Okay. So, well, Dave, you want to get us started? What do you think would be a reason that she might not be willing to leave, and a motivation that might get her to leave?
Well, you've got something that is at least meeting your needs, and it's a risk to let that go. But I would begin to research some of the things that you would like to do, and in terms of a job, get familiar with the job market as to what's available, and keep looking until something strikes you as being really fascinating, and then begin to take the next step. But just take one step at a time and go slow with it, and do some research as to what you would enjoy doing as a life work.
Dr.
I've been
Okamoto.
Working toward that. I think it's something deeper, really.
Okay. Well, we'll explore that a little bit after that. And so you hold on. You know, I have all these people. I have people all the time saying, I quit my job and now I can't get a job. And I always encourage people, find the job you want while you have the job you don't want. But it is difficult because you've got the job you have. There's some security there. We'll talk about how to lower the risk and increase the likelihood that you could be successful in the job market. We'll do that right after this on New Life Live.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Bell. And Dr. Okamoto, I'll just go to you first. What do you think might be a reason someone who, by the way, you'll just mute that there. So
we're trying.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah. I hear this a lot in the office where it is, even if you have a terrible working situation, it's just really hard. You know that it's not the right thing. God wants you to move on. But a lot of times it's anxiety. And anxiety is the fear of the unknown. It's about things could get worse. And that's where spiritually it's about faith. It's about doing the right things, like Dave and Steve, you said to try to line something up early. But any change is very scary, and you sort of get tested in your faith. If this is really where God's leading me, do I want to do this? And sometimes anxiety is very hard to deal with.
So how do you get through that anxiety? What's the first step in say, okay, I've wanted to do this, I haven't. So what's a new first step into doing something differently that might result in a new job? What do you think?
Well, a lot of part of this is spiritually, how do you exercise your faith? And this is where the church comes into it. It's like, okay, I go to church on Sunday. This should be part of my everyday walk and every choice that I have. And really, for major choices like jobs, it's where you pray, you get support from other people, you get counsel, you get advice that's godly, and you have people around you that if you do make a mistake, it'll be repairable. So it's not so scary if you're supported.
Yeah. I think really getting involved in a women's Bible study at your church could be where you find a person that hears that maybe you're looking for something different. Connecting with other people can really be a way that God can use others to give you some confidence in yourself, but also people connect people with other people, and that might be the connection that you need, is get a little more involved in group work, Bible study work, recovery group, something in that church where you know, people might hear your story and say, boy, I know somebody that would love to meet someone with the skills that you have. And then the other thing is, if you can't leave the job you have, figure out what it is in that job that you don't like, and then talk to somebody and see if, hey, maybe a new job, a new position could be created separate. And so maybe you're not limited in the advancement and salary. I don't know. Maybe that would be a key to it. Let me send you Take Your Life Back. I think it's part of the whole process there when we start becoming the decider of our lives rather than circumstances being the thing that determines our destiny. Speaking of destiny, my destiny at the bottom of the hour is Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, talk to us in the beginning of September.
Yeah, it's a new month, and we have something that we want to announce and introduce here with September. You know, in March, we reintroduced somewhat Club New Life with the new thank you gift, and we started our video library for Club New Life members. Well, after 6 months, we are changing our thank you gift. Where the video library continues as it has and grows, and it's fabulous. We can talk about that in more detail another time, but I want to talk about our thank you gift. Our thank you gift is going to be two things. It's going to be a thumb drive. And that thumb drive will have 71 different audio teachings on it. 71. There's some amazing stuff here. We have our complete New Life Perspective Library. That's 51 of those 71. We've got 7 or 8 of the New Life Speaker Series. And some of I want to give a few of those titles real quick. Steve, you did The Purpose and Promise of Surrender. We have the audio of a TV program that you, John, and Henry were a part of in defense of Christian counseling. We have Dave and Jan talking about what gets in the way of relationships. Henry Cloud does Changing What Never Seems to Change. Jill Hubbard, I'm Not Invisible. Dave did Forgiveness and Finishing Well, another one. And Sherry did Living with Someone with Narcissism. Plus, we have years worth of Club New Life CDs, the most recent year. So this is just a way of saying thank you, and it's very valuable. It's stuff you can just listen to over and over if you ever get through it the first time.
Well, let's talk about why we're giving it. You gave this to somebody who was going through a real struggle, and she responded to it, and so we all got interested in it again, and we want everybody possible to have it. It's really amazing.
Yeah. I mean, time and again, for several weeks, every time I spoke with her, she's, thank you again for that thumb drive you gave me. And so we just thought, well, we've got to use this on a bigger scale. But it helps people. That's what we do here at New Life, so we need you to help. Our target is 6 Club New Life members every single day, $30 or more per month, automated giving, and we seek your support in that. So if you could be one of the 6 today, I think we ought to blow it out of the water today. I think you ought to be one of the 12. So if you could make a gift today, join Club New Life. Gratitude everywhere. Thank you.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. That's where you find out all about that. Club New Life changes people's lives, including those who give to Club New Life. All right. Let's go to, how about Ann in Dallas, Texas? Hi, Ann. Welcome. She listens to us on the app, and we're glad she does. Hi, Ann. Welcome. Ann's getting adjusted. I can tell.
Hi.
Yes. How you doing? Hi.
Hi there. Yes, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, should I physically leave my marriage after
20 years, basically leave the home in separation. We've been separated in the home for 6 months. And
why would you? What's going on? He's an addict.
He's an addict.
What's he addicted to? What's he addicted
to? Ephedrine for a lot of years, and it just came out. I went through cancer twice because nobody knew until about two and a half years ago. I finally exposed it with pastors. Mm-hmm. We were in counseling. You know, he's continued to get worse, and he recently went into an IOP, and he got kicked out of the IOP. And now he's trying to get into another IOP, and they keep telling him, no, you need inpatient. And so today, his parents are really believing a lot of things that he's saying. And so he told them that he would, if he used again, he would go on inpatient. And his blood pressure has been 200 over 130. And so he just says, well, nothing's happened to me, so nothing's going to happen to me. And we were in ministry too, so he's
okay, so
very
what's,
spiritually abusive in a lot of ways, and
okay,
emotionally abusive. And so he's telling me, if I go, you know, I've made a lot of those, had a hard time with my boundaries with that, because the last thing I want to do is actually physically separate from the home. We have a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old in the home too, and it's just a mess. I don't know if I should give him, he's begging me to give him another chance, but I feel like the begging of another chance, I'm not going to use again, has been what's in my ears so many times. And so it's like, I feel like he's just, if he even gets an IOP, even if he gets this IOP today to let him in, and he doesn't want me to be there, which is another red flag.
Well, if whether he's going to an intensive outpatient or not, is he going to, or is he committed to going to recovery meetings?
Well, he's been going to Celebrate Recovery for the last 5 months, every night, to different ones. He's been in step studies.
He's still using that. Okay. So obviously that
isn't... And he's been drinking vodka, too.
Okay. So none of that is... enough. It's not a matter of whether he's inpatient or outpatient or going to group. He's still using. Right?
Right. Exactly.
So his parents think it's okay for him to still use?
His brother 4 years ago shot himself with addiction. So I don't know if they're just more, they don't know really. I don't know. I mean, they're saying they think he needs inpatient too now, but that's a long time to get him to even get to that point. Now they're really seeing that he does have a problem, because I came on Friday night and he was drunk after he got told no, he couldn't go into an IOP of the last one, and he was telling his dad on the phone that I haven't done anything for a week, and he was sitting there doing it. So his dad was understanding that he's obviously not being truthful. I think in his heart he really wants to, but he just is not there, and I don't know what to do, and it's like it's creating such a mess in our home, and I had a half a kidney removed last year because I went...
Hold on. We'll help you after this.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and we're talking with Ann. And Ann, at the break, we were talking about what to do. You want to know if you should move out. But my thought is you should get the parents over to the house. And you should write up a document that says that if he uses again, he will go into inpatient and get him to agree to that. So rather than leave, call his bluff. Say, okay, we'll give you another chance here. But sign this that says, and we're all here, you're going to go inpatient if you use again. And then expect that he will. But he did say, I'll go inpatient if I use again, right?
But he used again. that's why we're at today. That's okay, why so, we're where we are today. He said that over the weekend, and then he was going towards the IOPs again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Today, he indicates he's used again, and now he's saying the same thing. He's not honoring what he said to begin with.
So how about your parents coming over to the house and everybody sitting down and talking face-to-face about the dilemma that's here?
Mm-hmm. Well, all of our family lives in a different state.
They do.
We're the only ones here. So, but I can have a conversation, you know, over the phone or...
Or a little Skype meeting with them where they... Something. Yeah. But I think it's time for him to sign something that says, here's what I'm willing to do if I'm not able to be successful on my own. Let's hear from Dave and Dr. Okamoto. What are you thinking, guys?
I mean, if you can have some influence or somebody can help him do this, he's already said that he's going to go in, so he should go in. But he may argue and say no. But... Yeah, Steve is saying put it on paper, write it as a contract. Maybe there will be more leverage that way. But anything that you can do to make that happen, it sounds like the IOP that he's trying to get into may not want to have him in because he needs to be an inpatient. So he sort of needs to go now.
Okay.
You have to have a consequence. If you're going to do that, too. And maybe the consequences...
Yeah, and see, that's where the counselors and everybody have been over this for years. And for the last 2.5 years, it's been this back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. And now his behavior is really bad with me. There's no, you know, he's very manipulative. He sends me a text and says, if you're going to leave, then screw you. If I do this good, then...
Find out how to do this, but instead of the thought coming into your mind that you should leave, it should be the other way around. He should not come back into the house.
Right. And I tried that, and he refused. I've been trying that for the last 6 months because that's what one of the other counselors had said. Mm-hmm. But he refuses. Now he was in the other room sleeping, but now he moved his mattress in at the foot of the bed, and he won't get out of the bedroom either. So he's like, no, this is my house. I'm not leaving. And if you want to leave, then you're throwing away our marriage, and you leave.
Okay. So, and have you and the kids gone to any kind of Al-Anon meetings or anything like that?
I have. Yes, I have. Okay. I went to a treatment counselor, which he got kicked out of that one, too. He was going as well, and then that's when they told him he needed IOP. And then he went to IOP, and he got kicked out of that.
So I would be I would be getting the kids some help, too, here, because this has got to be devastating for them to see this, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I've already talked to them, and we've got things in place going in that direction with both of them getting their own counseling over that
and
as
is,
well.
Is there any basis? Is there any basis for a restraining order against him?
Well, I mean, I don't really want to go that far. I mean, because I've already got the families already. Everybody's acting like I'm the bad guy because I'm setting boundaries, healthy boundaries, and sticking to them.
Well,
and
we have to get everybody to agree.
Boundary.
We have to get everybody to agree. The goal is him getting treatment and getting better. And so we all have to be willing to do some really tough things until he finally agrees. And that's where you need
so
to be talking with the parent.
IOP him if he goes to. I mean, there are IOPs. They said the ones that's denied him because they evaluate him and assess him and say, no, you need to be inpatient to get detox. You know, they said there are IOPs that will probably let you in if you beat on the door hard enough, and but that doesn't mean it's going to help you. A lot of times they come full circle and still have to go to inpatient. Why not just do that now? So I don't know whether just to let him.
The thing would be
today,
if you could get into an intensive outpatient with a contract where he's not getting in, you're going with him. And you're talking with them, and everybody understands if he's using, he has to go to, he has to go to inpatient, and you have that inpatient center already identified.
Okay. And that's what I had thought about is being there today when he goes in there and basically, having this conversation with him.
You need to be there with
him. And with the family.
In a medical sense, it's like, the IOP is not working. He needs to be inpatient. So anything you can do to make that happen, because you've been through this for 3 years more, and even if it involves a restraining order, I mean, you've got to be strong no matter what they say. They can come on board later on, but you know what's really been happening, and you're there for your kids too besides you. And, think how long can he tolerate a blood pressure that high without keeling over someday? So you're really looking out for him in the long run.
And you can't listen to his threats that you're throwing the marriage away and those kind of things. Those are part of his manipulation to maintain the status quo. And if you give in to that or believe that, then you're neutralized in terms of being helpful.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I'm going to suggest that you open that up with him and study it with him. And there are so many people that thought they understood recovery till they got a Life Recovery Bible, and then everything started to change. If you're interested in one of the 3 million Life Recovery Bibles out there, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Would love to get you one of those. It could change everything. Larry Sonnenberg was here earlier. He mentioned Club New Life. He forgot to mention that the other thing we're doing this month, if you sign up for Club New Life, we're going to send you a brand new Life Bluetooth speaker. You take the app and you join it with this Bluetooth speaker. It's got New Life written right on there. You'll never forget about it. And you get to hear the program right there in your own home, and it'll play anything, of course. And that, in addition to this thumb drive, with 71, I believe it is, audio teachings. It's like the best of everything we've ever done. That's our way of saying thank you. On October the 6th, that's just almost a month away, we're there at Mariners Church in Irvine, and we're going to be talking about recovery. It's the Life Recovery Conference. We've been there before, had a great time. wonderful presentations by folks. If you've never understood recovery or you want to understand your own recovery in a deeper way, this is going to be perfect for you. Intimacy in Marriage is coming up September the 21st, this Friday in Houston, Texas. Every Man's Battle. Boy, that could change everything for you. And November the 9th, Restore, for those women whose husbands, ex-husbands, have a sexual integrity problem, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.